From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer. Federal authorities today repeated their warning that Americans should be on the highest possible alert for more terrorist attacks, but they gave no new information about when they might come, or where, or how. Homeland Security Chief Tom Ridge said the government has received credible information from multiple sources that the United States could be targeted within the next week. Ridge defended Attorney General John Ashcroft's decision last night to inform local law enforcement and the general public, despite not being able to give any details about the potential attacks.
It's a difficult and fine line that we walk, but I think America understands and hopefully appreciates that when there's that kind of information available to us, we just share it with America, as incomplete as it might be.
Ridge said the terrorist threat advisory was the product of several sources, one of them human intelligence. But intelligence officials and others have told NPR that the U.S. does not have as many informants as it needs to warn about future attacks. Over the past quarter century, the government has turned away from developing informants abroad, and the lack of such intelligence may have left the United States vulnerable. NPR's Barbara Bradley reports.
Over the summer, intelligence experts following Osama bin Laden picked up a lot of hints from telephone intercepts, videotapes, and satellite photos, suggesting he might be planning some kind of attack. But when it came on September 11th, the government was caught off guard. One reason, according to Oliver Revelle, who used to head the FBI's counterterrorism unit, America is superb at so-called technical intelligence, but has fallen behind on human intelligence.
Where the information collected through technical means lets you know that there is a definite threat and that there's activity in that regard, it doesn't give you the specificity you would need to carry out a preemptive action. You know, the time, place, date, and target.
Sound familiar? In last night's press conference, Attorney General John Ashcroft said intelligence agents had picked up a threat, but didn't have a clue as to time, place, or method. Vincent Canestraro says the problem is that we do not have the informants within or near the terrorist organization who can guide American analysts through the maze. Canestraro was chief of counterterrorism at the CIA. For example, he says, say CIA analysts intercept a phone call between two suspected terrorists. They're not speaking openly about their plans.
But to understand that code or double talk, you really have to understand the environment from which these two people came. You have to understand that perhaps if they're talking about a party, they really mean a bombing. This takes experience. This takes cultural understanding and awareness.
The decline in human intelligence began in the mid-1970s, post-Watergate, post-J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI's secret files, post-Vietnam. In 1975, a Senate commission released a report saying the CIA had authorized assassinations of various leaders. This alarmed some who felt the U.S. was overstepping its bounds.
There was too much Big Brother, there was too much spying, and we needed to rein it in.
Porter Goss is currently the Republican chair of the House Intelligence Committee.
So we saw some very definite sort of benchmark decisions made that said that, you know, we aren't going to invest as much in intelligence because we're not at a Pearl Harbor type situation anymore, and we really are more concerned about our civil rights, and so we're going to swing the pendulum pretty far over.
The U.S. continued to recruit Soviet spies. There was a Cold War going on, and besides, Canestraro says, they were susceptible to the most traditional lure, money. But, he says,
once the major objective was done, was the collapse of communism, the CIA lost focus, it lost a real raison d'etre, and it never really found a substitute.
According to former CIA and other intelligence officers, about 1992, CIA offices in Europe and the Mideast were shut down. Agents were discouraged from developing sources. Instead, they were encouraged to rely on the intelligence agencies of foreign countries. Then, in 1995, one of the CIA's informants in Guatemala was involved in the murder of an American there. The Senate held a series of hearings, reprimanding the CIA for cultivating unsavory people as sources. John Deutsch, then head of the CIA, issued a new directive. Agents must get approval before recruiting anyone who is suspected of crimes or human rights violations. Ambassador Paul Bremer, who headed a congressional commission, says the rules created a disincentive.
The testimony we heard from field agents in the CIA was absolutely conclusive. They simply said to us, it's too much work. It's too hard. It's too cumbersome. It takes too much time. I can't be sure that if I wait 6 months for an answer, the guy I'm trying to recruit will even still be around. He may have gone away or gone somewhere else or been captured or killed or whatever. And so the effort is not made in the field as much as it should be to recruit these kinds of people.
As one former agent puts it, the message was explicit. Anything goes wrong, your source kills someone, you're responsible. Congressman Goss says the U.S. began feeling the impact right away, especially in the shadowy world of Middle East terrorism. The CIA's reduced presence in Africa and the Middle East left no one to do the sleuthing, says one former officer. Then, in 1998, the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania were bombed. Porter Goss says that was one of several attacks on U.S. interests in the region.
These are just a few of the sort of surprises that have come to us as a result of the fact that we simply did not have intelligence operatives there.
Not that it's easy to penetrate groups like al-Qaeda. Gerald Post was at the CIA for 21 years and founded the agency's Center for Analysis of Personality and Political Behavior. He recently interviewed 35 terrorists who are jailed in the Middle East, asking how they got involved in a terrorist group. Usually, he said, they were introduced to the group by a family member or a friend, and often committing a crime is a rite of passage.
You really have true believers here. You have very strong belief systems, and that is not easily dented.
And Post says America's technology may prove inadequate to the task, even with satellite cameras that can practically pick up the dimple on a golf ball.
Such remarkable cameras cannot penetrate the human mind, and it is particularly difficult to use our array of technological intelligence against a small, mobile, invisible, unknown group plotting in cellars.
Experts are divided as to how long it will take the U.S. to cultivate new sources. It's widely acknowledged that language is a big problem. The intelligence agencies are woefully short of Arabic speakers. In fact, the Attorney General made a public plea for Arabic speakers to come help translate the massive intercepts and documents in-house. As one former agent says, informants tend not to speak English, so how do we expect to recruit them? Barbara Bradley, NPR News, Washington.